Good afternoon, indeed. Glad that you all came still, 5 o'clock. My name is Albert Kooijman.
My name is Ganesh Sridharan.
And together we are going to give you an overview of our API platform, and more interestingly, actually, also what is coming, so that you know a little bit of how to prepare for the future, although there is not much to show, at least you get directionally where we are going. And in order to understand how to go forward, you also have to understand where we are coming from. So the outlay of the presentation is that I quickly walk through the history of our product so that you get that context, then walk through the same steps for our APIs, and then you give you a set of demos to see what actually we are doing at this very moment and what we have done in the past. So three times history, first in slides, about the overall philosophy and vision of the product, then of the APIs, and then in demos. And what I want you to take away in the end is, okay, hey, that you have a better idea of which API can do what, so that you get inspired by what we can do already now. And then, second of all, of course, that you're also able to understand what to prepare for when you're talking about how to develop against Link. And when we are talking about Link, we are not only talking about the Link server, but also about Link Online. So a little bit about the history. I think that many people, how many of you have seen me present before, actually? One, two, but that most likely yesterday, and no one actually has heard this overview apart from one person in the room. But I want you to understand what is so different about Link. And I have to go back more than 10 years for that. When we first came to the realization, like, okay, those are the days of Windows and Office, right? So we did this pitch to Bill Gates, and said, hey, we really should go into the telephony space. We had done already some attempts through an API called TAPI. But at that very moment, the proposal was essentially, okay, hey, you work on your desktop. Yes, no one had a mobile or a laptop or whatever. They worked on the desktop, and when the phone would ring, you would swivel your seat, you would pick up the phone, and there was no way to relate those two to each other. So the proposal that we did to Bill G at that point in time was, how can we connect those things? How can we connect the phone system, the PBX, with the computer? So effectively, computer telephony integration, or CTI as it was mentioned, as named at that point in time. And that proposal was radically wiped off the table. And that is very important to understand, because he asked us, guys, what is your strategy? Sorry, there were no ladies in the room, so this is was guys. And people tried to give a very, very sophisticated answer, and he said, no, our strategy is software. And I think that these words really, really are critically important to understand, because he did not want that we would fall in the trap of effectively trying to imitate something that existed already, but radically start from scratch and build something as software from ground up. The funny thing came actually one moment thereafter, because he then asked, and what is our strategy 3 years from now? And no one dared to answer anymore. And then he said, more software. And that is effectively what I'm going to tell you, how that evolution actually takes place, right? So we appointed a person at that point in time who is back, by the way, now as our leader, Gurdeep Singh Pal, and he started to work. And he's with this liberty to actually start from scratch, he built a platform that, in contrast to any other platform in those days, did not have those silos. The silo of what then was called the telephone and the fax machine and instant messaging was there. There was an Exchange instant messaging client in those days. And he effectively built a platform from where you could roam from one modality to another modality. And that is the key element of our software. So communications as software. The second innovation that he actually did was, okay, if I now build software, I want to be able to effectively take away those silos, right? And I want to essentially offer a developer platform that allows you to program against all those modalities that you are used to. So, or actually not used to at those days, but the ones that like IM, voice, video, sharing, all those modalities are essentially in the APIs that we are offering. So it is truly what we called unified communications. And I still remember October 2006 that we, for the first time as Microsoft, used unified communications in a press release. And 1 year later, we released a product called OCS 2007. And in OCS 2007, something unique happened. We were the leader in the magic quadrant of unified communications. And actually, 1 year thereafter, in 2008, every other major vendor in the world had renamed the product into unified communications. Regardless on whether they had done anything about their product, it was all called unified communications. But we had truly built this horizontal platform. And that platform was not only about instant messaging, but was also about voice, being able to call each other, and about meetings. And those were the things that really set us apart. However, big disaster. In the first year in of our product, what did people like you do? You did not like the product. Well, there were still a lot of people that liked it. We sold tens of millions of dollars worth of software. But everyone asked, where is my phone? So between OCS 2007 and Link 2010, when we renamed the product, all the engineers in our team effectively got completely reshifted and started filling all those gaps of that famous RFP that was presented at VoiceCon, which is a show that is now called Enterprise Connect, and built those missing features. And all of a sudden, Link essentially became this enterprise telephony product. And this enterprise telephony product essentially should imitate the PBX. Everything that a PBX could do, but we can do better. That was more or less the philosophy. But this whole notion of unified communications was essentially a bit thrown out of the window, right? I remember that we had a review with Balmer, and Balmer came in and he said, "And how many video minutes did you do in the recent time? How are people using video?" And I was asking myself, why does this guy ask us this, right? But the point that he wanted to drive home was that we were at that very moment, and you can see that in our advertisements, very much focused on selling phone features and making it look like a phone. So there was actually a swing back in our marketing, so I was guilty of that as well, and all of a sudden we started talking about enterprise communications and re-emphasizing the capability that we can do meetings and that we can do everything essentially different from a phone as well. Because that is what our product is unique. Now, at this point in time, we are in the year 2010. And that was when people like we effectively started looking at the world and came to the realization that the world of this PC and that Windows world, where we had 90%+ market share, had radically changed. And I remember that we actually did this proposal that we said, hey, we want to radically change our platform. Our developer platform needs to change because we need to be no longer focused on the desktop. We need to be mobile ready. This is 2009, 2010 that we for the first time said that.
Yeah, mobile / web ready.
Mobile. And now I don't want to air some dirty laundry, but we effectively got turned down. So the first mobile wave of products that we built as Link, they sucked, because what did we try to do? We effectively tried to imitate SIP over the internet. And that doesn't work. And I will prove you 1,000 times during this presentation that it doesn't work. So that is the thing to realize. So, and you need to understand that, because that was the moment that we decided to move away from C# or .NET APIs to the web API. From 2010 onwards, we have been focusing most of our effort to effectively build an API, and I will come back to that in a moment, that no longer communicates via SIP, but communicates via HTTP. And there are a lot of advantages about that that I will explain in a later slide, but that is the moment that we actually were starting to prepare for what we then called the real-time web. We namely think that SIP is dead. And this was a quote that was retweeted quite a few times after Enterprise Connect when I said it out loud for the first time. But SIP doesn't work for mobile. SIP doesn't work for web. And I think actually that once you come to that realization, you also start realizing that our strategy, and this is actually something that you can see reflected in our stock price as Microsoft in the recent months, the moment that Satya Nadella came on board, he effectively re-emphasized that we are no longer a Windows-first company, but that we are very much on any platform, on any operating system, for any developer language that we want to develop our stuff. And that is something that is critically important. Now, at the same time, I'm now, let's say, talking about 2011, 2012, we came to not only the realization, okay, hey, we need to prepare for this real-time web, but we also came to the realization that this change is actually a major paradigm shift. So what I would say is that in the time that I was the first telephony user, it was bing, the phone would ring, and I would pick it up from the handset. And then, reluctantly, I got sucked into this next stage of telephony where I picked up my mobile phone. You are all already sucked into the third wave of telecommunications. You are using things like FaceTime. You're using things like Facebook Messenger. You're using WhatsApp. So, in other words, there is a new era of telecommunications happening. And this new era of telecommunications effectively is driven by consumers. So does it now make sense when we are starting to talk about, hey, what did Microsoft do? We bought Skype. And why? Because if you want to be able to talk to each other, what is the most important thing? The most important thing is that you have a phone book. You know how to find other people. And there are now 300 plus million users on Skype. There is about 100 plus million users on Link. There are 400 million plus users on Outlook.com. So there is an enormous phone book of addresses that we have, and with the acquisition of Skype, that is only stronger. And we have them both in the enterprise as well as on the consumer world. And that is essentially what Gudeep explained at Enterprise Connect when he held his talk there, that we as our division, as the Skype division, the Link people are now part of the Skype division, are working on at this very moment. We are essentially entering into this era of what we call universal communications, where essentially the old style telecom networks, the fixed network and the mobile network, are transitioning into a third era of telecommunications where people are communicating via that new style network. And we will have formidable competitors in that era. Right? What is the biggest phone book that you know? It's Facebook. Or anyone who is on Google and Gmail, or anyone who is on an Apple iThingy. And those people actually are encouraging, like Facebook Messenger is extremely popular. WhatsApp is extremely popular. Hangouts getting more and more popular. And those will effectively start changing the way how we communicate. So that is what we are preparing for. Now, if you start thinking about that, what is then the most important thing? Well, that you have users on your network. I just explained that people have started using more and more mobile devices. Now, if you look at the mobile devices, it's not necessarily the fact that you turn on your mobile device that actually makes you join a network. Yes, that could be the case with your telecom, and telecoms are talking a lot nowadays about voice over LTE, as the new era of how they will enter that new era of telecommunications. But the realization that we have as Microsoft, our team, people like Ganesh and myself, we are thinking that effectively you are in our network at the moment that you actually log in into an application. You've seen that already when we first launched OCS 2007. Because what was the killer app that drove adoption of OCS at that time? Outlook. Outlook integration was of paramount importance to us. And now it will be of paramount importance to us that actually every application will have the capabilities to do Skype or Link calls. And that is what our platform currently is trying to do. Now I will walk through this story three times, right? Because now you understand, okay, this is where we are heading. So essentially we want to turn every software that you write into a communications endpoint that can contact anyone who is on our network. But now you need to understand a little bit about, okay, hey, what does that mean for our APIs? And I'm not going to start at LCS and OCS, but I'm going to start with Link 2010 to save ourselves some time. But What I said was earlier was that this was the era of .NET and Windows. So you actually can see that the APIs, and this was the era of SIP, right? We still embrace SIP and simple for IAM as our protocol. So the three APIs that we have are the link managed API and the UC managed API, the UC managed API being a server-side API. And then we have this obscure link server SDK that allows you to manipulate how effectively people can IAM each other or not. You can build ethical walls with that. So with other words, that link managed API essentially enabled us to do the office integration. Or in UCMA, we built things like response groups on there, or the call park server, or unified messaging in Exchange. But for you, effectively what it enabled, UCMA enabled things like alerts and notifications, bots, contact center applications, or routing applications like an ACD or an expert finder, gateways on how to connect old networks to new networks, and ethical walls, and recording, and routing, and those type of things. That is what those APIs enable. And those APIs, as you can see, are the foundation of our own product. So very often I get asked this question, are those APIs going to go away? Well, they are going to go away when our product is going to go away, because our product is built on it. So it's very important to understand that, this is not something that is happening overnight. Now, if you look at the client SDK in this particular case, we launched not only an API, an object model, but we also launched controls. And I will show you in a demo in a moment what that means. But effectively, with one line of code, you could do what we can do in Outlook. With one line of code, you can embed presence in your application, either with Silverlight or WPF. And when you have the link client running then, like for example in Microsoft we have the library website, and you hover over, and at that very moment you can start IAMing with each other. So those are the things that we are enabling. And we are in UCMA, we are enabling signaling, collaboration, those are very much around meetings. And then we have a namespace which is media or...
But audio video.
Yeah, it is effectively audio. So there is no video in there, that's important to understand. And what many people also do not realize is that we have a complete speech API in there with speech engines that come with the API. So those are the things that come with Link 2010. In Link 2013, I told you, we effectively moved away from SIP. We started introducing this infamous UC web API. And what is important to understand that the scenario that we originally built this API for was to enable clients. Was to enable client software. For example, our Link web app uses this. And all the current mobile clients, like the Android client, the Windows Phone client, the iPhone client, or the iPad client, they all use this API. And it essentially allows us via HTTP to contact our server. And in that sense, UCWise essentially built as an HTTP head on top of our UC managed API. And we still did some enhancements in Link 2013 as well about our managed API, because what you can do with the managed API on the client you also can build kiosk apps. One of the most popular apps that are, for example, are a banking app where you walk in as a banking customer into a smaller branch where they do not have all the experience that a big branch would have. But you still would like to have your mortgage advice or personal loan advice or anything special. So what do those people do? They have this kiosk there. You sit down in front of the kiosk and you have a high-quality video connection to someone in the bigger branch that can actually personally advise you and look you straight eye to eye, in the eye. Right? Those are applications that we enabled. And then you, of course, would not only like to see each other in the eye, but you also would like to be able to say, okay, hey, let me walk you through your form. This is the form, and you then do an app share. And in the app share, you can say, okay, these are the fields. No, this is where your last name goes. This is where your first name goes. And you can walk the customer through those forms. So that is what is happening in Link 2013. We have got a new API, UCWA. We still do enhancements on the managed APIs on both the client side as well as on the server side. And the Link server API more or less has stayed the same since the very beginning. Now, what is important if you start designing a new API? Well, we have run into quite a few learnings. Well, for example, that if you build an API, it needs to be very easy to understand. So what we did in the UC Web API, we effectively embraced RESTful principles. And that is, if you look at the large amount of text on this slide, that is what the key takeaway is. So you have a uniform representation of your API. And we could not only use HTTP, so that's why we say it is inspired by REST, but is not completely REST, because we had to deal with real-time media. And in the real-time media world, there is no one that effectively went there before. So we adopted some other standards input, like, for example, the use of hypermedia, in order to build this API better. The other thing that we found was that if you build clients for so many platforms, it does not make sense to make all the business logic re-implemented for each and every one of those clients. So you can see that in the UC Web API, a lot of the business logic that is essentially part of the link client is no longer available in the client as code, but available in the client as functionality. So we essentially started layering our API with a lot of rules implemented on the server. So for example, what is your most last active endpoint is calculated in the server, or how do you effectively interpret presence and those type of things? Maybe you have some other examples?
Auto accept is another. Who needs to accept a call when the user is not ready to accept? Those things are implemented on the server. Your conversation history, many things that you do on the client kind of implement on the server side.
Another thing that we found to go on with why we designed UC the way it is that once you start introducing a new API, you want to innovate very, very quickly. So you do not want to be in a position where the API every time breaks. And I showed yesterday in the session this website called usiwa.link.com, where there is a dynamic graph. And effectively how it works, when we do an usiwa request, is you essentially ask the server, or effectively the service that is available in usiwa, what do I have at my disposal? So whenever we light up new functionality, that functionality then can be interpreted into your client. For example, recently we introduced online meetings as a capability in our API. That was not there before, so all of a sudden now you get a property back that you say, okay, you can go to the next application node that actually represents online meetings. How many of you were there yesterday? But maybe I can show that very, very quickly, because it is a very important thing to realize. Let me show it. Okay, here we go. usiwa.link.com. Oh, and I cannot even type it correct. usiwa.link.com. If you go to the documentation and to the API reference, then here there is a dynamic graph. And in this dynamic graph, effectively, we have documented our API. The key thing of our API is this one, application. And once you do a request for application, and you can actually see that it literally live does this request to the server, it lights up what are the things that you essentially can find. So here in JSON or in XML, you can find things. Like, for example, you've got online meetings, where I spoke about just a moment ago. When I do a request to the service, and I ask for online meetings, what can I do with it? You essentially can see what are the values there. Like, for example, I can retrieve the phone dial-in information. And then, of course, you need to set the dial-in region, and then you can essentially get that information. So this is how this API works. You do an HTTP request, and you get something back. So let's actually go back to the PowerPoint. That is what this API is all about. Now, the other thing which is very important to understand is that it reduces this whole chattiness. So with other words, if you are on a SIP device that talks SIP, it goes back and forth all the time. And what is this consequence? The consequence that it drains your battery. So if you look at this slide particularly, in the past you would do 9 requests to go from an IM call to a voice call. Is that what we are doing?
Oh, we are inviting two-party to multi-party call.
Oh, two-party to a multi-party. In the UC Web API, we need 2 requests. And then under the hood, on the server side, we can do as many requests as we want. So those 9 requests in SIP are still there because UCWA talks to this UCMA API, and the UCMA API actually talks SIP to the server. But you now only have 2 calls. And there are a lot of those type of optimizations. For example, whenever you are looking at your buddy list, why would we send more buddies than fit on your screen? In the link client that you use on your desktop, it starts retrieving all hundreds of the ones that you have. In this particular case, and it's very similar to any other apps that you nowadays know that are modern, it retrieves whatever you need to retrieve. So if 5 buddies fit on your screen, it will retrieve 5 buddies. So it's a very, very modern API in that sense.
So one other point I want to point out in this slide is that if you were to develop a client app in the previous next slide, if you want to talk to Link and if you want to talk to Exchange to get your contacts or do the search, you have to write, you have to understand Exchange protocol, you have to interop with Exchange, get the tokens and all those things. Now it's just communicated with UCY API. It hides all the services that it needs to talk to behind one API.
Very important point. So, what was new that we announced at the Link conference? At the Link conference, we announced, and every company can join that, and even if you are a web or mobile developer, you can join that program. We organized a technology adoption program. And this, in this technology adoption program, we have launched that you can play around with the next version's object model that we have written in JavaScript for browser-based applications. So, with other words, we are now first enabling that you can write your own web applications, and I'm going to do some demos in a moment. But those web applications can effectively use the full gambit of functionality because the UCWA that is on ucwa.link.com only essentially does the equivalent of what I would call signaling. So, if you want to do audio and video and sharing, that is what is available in this object model, and what will be available also in controls, the one line, okay, and now I would like to have a video canvas, or now I would like to have a contact card type of controls. So this technology adoption program essentially allows you to build your own web apps or embed link functionality. And by the way, when I speak about link at this point in time, it's already getting blurred, right? So it is maybe if you build a consumer app, you effectively would like to make this a Skype functionality. But the key scenario that we want to support is when the consumer reaches out to the business or when the business reaches out to the consumer. So you have then this object model. You can embed that into your own web apps, and you can have the full functionality that you're used to with Link and connect your consumer customers to your business. And then, of course, inside the business, everyone can still use their old clients, right? So the desktop clients that everyone has. Afterwards, everyone who is interested, you can contact us and we can effectively send you an invite for our technology adoption program. Now, I spoke about, there is quite a bit going on. One of the things that is going on at this point in time is that we have more and more customers that actually ask for a video contact center. And in the video contact center, you effectively would like to, like I described just a moment ago with the bank, not only be able to do a peer-to-peer call, like we are able to do now at this very moment, but you would like to find an agent and route the call from a customer with video, not necessarily of the customer, but at least of the person, the agent that is responding, to the right person. So with other words, you have an ACD, an automatic call distributor, for video. So one of the things that is on our to-do list at this very moment is to effectively enable in the UC managed API the video capability as well. I spoke about audio is already there. We're going to do a demo of that, but video will be available as well. So that is important. Now, one of the things that you need to realize, and that is with regards to the title of this presentation, what is API is available where and when and what can I do with it? Well, what I would like to stress is what is mentioned here at the very bottom line of this slide is that this particular capabilities at this very moment are only available with Link Server. They are not available with Link as a service, so Office 365 or Link Online. Yes, you can build Link client APIs that work with the service, but that essentially is the only API that works. the link managed API, the client API, works with link online. Now that's a big gap, right? Not even UCY is turned on for link online at this point in time. So that is essentially also something that we have on our roadmap. Now, then we very often get this discussion about WebRTC. And I do want to take a moment. How many of you know about WebRTC? Have heard the word? And so there are a few of you, not many. That's actually quite surprising. Because there's a lot of noise about a new upcoming standard that is already upcoming for the last 2-3 years, where essentially the push is to build media directly into the browser. Both Chrome as well as Firefox have taken a media stack, that's to say the capability to do audio and video, and to a certain extent now also sharing, and built it straight into the browser. So at this very moment, when you are essentially enabling the capabilities for audio and video and sharing in Link, in a web app, you need to install a plugin. The plugin that you know as the Link web app plugin. And once you have installed that, it takes a few seconds to download it and install it. Everything is cool. However, most of the consumers have no clue what the hell is Link. Well, it's getting better nowadays. I sometimes are in a plane and I explain that I work for Skype and people say, oh, for something like Link. Yeah, exactly, I work for Link. So, but still, there's an incredible drop-off when people need to install plugins. So the promise that WebRTC has is that whenever you install the browser, those media things are already installed. And that sounds all very, very interesting, but the one thing that I want to call out is that we are not there yet. We are moving towards there. Even as Microsoft, we are moving that we effectively will be able to handle that. But we are not there yet. And now let me try to illustrate that. So essentially, when you are talking about WebRTC and most of the prototypes that you see working, is that when one browser talks to the other browser via a specific website. So essentially, it's via that website, it's more or less like a peer-to-peer call. And you know very much, okay, hey, the parts that are standardized or that they are in agreement about, let me actually go back to the previous slide. The people are agreeing in the working group in the W3C about the protocols. They also agree that we should use the audio more or less all the same, right? So everyone will support G711 as an audio codec, and Skype essentially also contributed a codec called Opus. And everyone thinks, yeah, that is a good thing. G711 and Opus should be the audio. But there is big, big disagreement, although there's some movement towards H.264 as the standard, as the mandatory to implement codec, but there is disagreement about the video. There's also disagreement about all the sharing capabilities. There is a big disagreement about how to do the API. There are two working groups working in parallel on the same thing. Microsoft is very active in both. The one is called WebRTC, the other one is called ORTC, or Object-Oriented Real-Time Communications. And that is something that is people need to be aware of. But what people need to be aware of most of all is that what is not discussed in this group, there is actually no one busy in effectively doing what UCY did, what Ganesh explained just a moment ago. Take away the complexity of everything around signaling. Take away the complexity of everything around auth that you actually have access to a link server. So if you go to one website and you communicate via that website with each other, you can do whatever you want with signaling. But now what people are asking us, hey, is can we actually connect this to Link? So with other words, can we make WebRTC talk to Link? Now what does need to happen in that particular case? We need to have agreement, first of all, on the protocols. Like I said, more or less we are on the same things there, on the same page there, right? So we use ICE and TURN and those type of transport things are more or less standardized. There are differences, and they are not very well documented, but we can deal with that. Audio, we can make it work as well. But there is effectively nothing with regards to auth, or there's very little. They know how to identify that you are the one that you claim to be, but not necessarily look up in the directory. And there is no agreement about what to do with signaling, because that is supposed to be offered by the website. And we need to essentially then do the capability of, okay, how can we make that work? So because what customers like you want, as at least what we understand, is that you want to be able to have your customers not have to install a plugin and then be able to dial us. Because you then don't have that drop-off of people who opt out to install that plugin. So I told you already just a moment ago, and actually I can demonstrate that it is possible already to know that UCWA is effectively a signaling API at this point in time, right? And we have a sign-in mechanism already, like for consumers, that is very much like, for example, live authentication or something like that, or it's Active Directory. So let me actually show you. I have here logged in two users. What I want to prove to you is effectively what I said just a moment ago. So there is a standardization going on with regards to transport and protocols. There's a discussion going on with regards to what audio and video to use. But now you need to complement that with signaling. Now, the point that I want to drive home is that we are working on it, that those two things effectively are complementary. So the demo that I want to do here is that I have logged in two users through UCWA. Actually, let me go back for a second so I can prove that to you. So here I'm going to log in as user one. And this is through UCWA. I hope, cannot even type the password. Let me go back. All right, I'm logged in now. It's retrieving my contact list. This is all UCWA. So there is nothing WebRTC about this, because this is signaling, authentication, identification. I retrieve my contacts, and I actually can see what are the people here that are live. So at this very moment, I see that Lena is logged in as well, and Lena is here logged in as well. Say again?
Oh, you can change the presence.
I can change the presence as well. So for example, if I go to busy here, then this is all UCWA. Then in a second here, we also see that this lady changes into busy. But the interesting part is this is Chrome. So it comes with codecs loaded. What I told just a second ago is I can make a call from one user to the other user. So in other words, the moment that I press click here, it asks me to whether I can use my camera. And here's one camera. And now I need to go to the other page. And I should be able to get a toast here now. Come on, come on, come on.
Getting it on.
Here's the tone. Oh, and I can turn on my audio as well. And I do. Oh, did I click ignore?
Yeah.
Damn it. Sorry. Let me go back, because there is no hang-up button in my app. So here we go again. So here we are. Here's Lena. She's still busy. I'm going to call her. Come on. Call, call, call. Are we now completely confused?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is just saying, hey, you want to use a device. Okay, let me actually see if I... Let me refresh this one. You see, this is a standard that still requires a little bit of work, although what I showed just a second ago... Hey, login failed. Why? Why is that? Okay, so here's Ari. Now, give me the capability. I can call Sarah.
Can I try from Ari?
Can you try from here? Yeah, now I've got him. Nope. Anyhow, first demo going wrong, so sorry for that. Maybe we can try. Let me go back to my slides, and in a moment I will try again. Maybe you can log in as the both users. So with other words, hey, this WebRTC thing is coming. And this WebRTC thing, by the way, is not only relevant for web, but it's also for mobile. Now, the key thing that we want to say is, okay, hey, WebRTC is pretty incomplete, and we need to fix a lot of things. But the thing that we actually are promising you is that the moment that we effectively have you use our object model, that we will shield you off of everything that happens under the hood. So the promise that I'm making here is that if WebRTC really is getting standardized, currently you load the plugin, but if there is no need to load a plugin, we essentially are going to enable the scenario that you, through one API, the one API that you get from us, you will be able to get those applications to work, because under the hood we will start taking care of you. Now, there's a lot of water that needs to run through the river there, because we still need to figure out a lot of things around WebRTC, but that, I think, is the promise that we would like to make to you. And essentially, as soon as everything is standardized, it is our vision that the object models that we will give you essentially shield off the whole complexity of which media stack to use. Going back. So what we are saying is that once you look at our roadmap, at the future server release that has been announced, we do not still announce when exactly it's coming, we effectively will give object models not only for the web that shield off this complexity, but also for mobile. And this is a big thing, right? So I first spoke about this at the Link conference, but you will be able not only to build apps for web, but you also will be able to build native apps. Like in an Apple device, you can use Objective-C. In an Android device, you can use Java. On a Windows Phone device, you can use the Windows Phone languages that are available. And we will be able to offer those. And they will come phased, right? So our highest priority at this point in time, strangely enough, is Android, to make sure that the 1.4 billion devices that are shipped on Android next year that will have this media stack potentially built in, that we can work with those. But those are the things that we are working on. Now, the other question that we get all the time is, when is this actually then going to be supported in Office 365? As I said just a moment ago, it is currently not supported in Office 365 yet. However, we are working on this, and we are working on this very hard, and this is not necessarily the same release, but in parallel, we are effectively working on turning on the UC Web API in Link Online. And you now know that works already, because effectively what I told you earlier is that the Link Web App and the Link Mobile clients already use this UC Web API, right? So the problems that we are there still sorting out is how to effectively give you the ability to log in the most smooth way. So that is the thing that we are still working on, and that should be rolled up in that object model. The other question that we get all the time is like, hey, I've built now a contact center app, and this contact center app is running on the UC managed API. The UC managed API effectively asks for full trust in my domain. Can I now run a UC managed API app in Link Online? And the answer is no. And the reason for that is because of this full trust that UCMA asks. So we cannot risk essentially the full trustness to be given to anyone that we cannot have direct sight of, let's put it like that. It is potentially a security risk unless you have set up the rules in your organization very, very tightly. So the other thing that I announced at the Link conference is that we are currently working on an extension of the UC Web API. We are already trying to use that internally for certain apps, for Microsoft apps, to also be an application endpoint API. And this is very massive, right? So what you have in C# in the UC managed API, we are turning that into HTTP as well. So the types of applications like a contact center in the cloud, or a routing, and let's say an expert finder in the cloud, or a notifications app in the cloud, those things will be possible in the foreseeable future. And I'm literally not talking about years, but I'm more talking about, let's say, well, our infamous 18 months from now. So the reason why it's infamous, because it always turns out to be 18 months somewhere, but we never tell what is the start of that. But I want you to be realizing that the UC Web API is going to be turned on in Office 365. In the very foreseeable future. And it's then going to be also enabled to do application endpoint applications, like what I said, bots, routing apps, contact center things like ACD, IVR, all those things then can run in your own data center and connect to us via HTTP to your own domain in Link Online, and be able to effectively do all the functionalities that you are used to in the UC managed API. Whew, that was a lot of talk. Is it so far clear? Yeah? Very understand? A question. So the question is whether the UC web API is going to be uniform across Skype or Link. That's a difficult question. Ideally, yes. So, ideally, yes. However, I think that this line between what is Link and what is Skype essentially is going to blur. So when I get this question, you think still about Skype and Link being two worlds. And effectively, they are growing together at this very moment. So therefore, whether you chose to brand your client app with the Skype logo is very much the choice that we will give you in a consumer scenario. If you're going to brand it Link because it's a business app, that is your thing. But whether this is like Skype or Link is more like a branding thing than an API thing, because essentially what you want to enable is the functionality. And if you use a Link API or if you use a Skype API, and I will give you some demos of that, those worlds are coming together. All right, any other questions? Not yet? Then we go on. What the hell can you do with this platform? How many of you are actually building applications on top of our platform? Not many? Oh, a few, if you have to. Ay, ay, ay. That is, okay. I was once asked to explain what can your platform do. And then I had this page after page and after page, and my general manager who asked this question, she said, sorry, I can only remember three things. So I cheated a little bit. So I started with, okay, hey, well, I can do things on how to streamline the communications between people. I can have a machine reach out to a person, and I can have a person talk to a machine. And she said, okay, that makes sense, but what does that mean? So what does that mean is that essentially you can set your presence through programs, right? And I will show you that in a moment. I can click to call, and I can essentially communicate with context. And I'm going to give you demos of each and every one of those. When it's about a machine reaching out to a person, the most obvious thing is when you do a notification. That's very one way, right? So we can blast out 30,000 messages in 1 minute for emergency scenarios if your client supports that. And that is like an alert, like, bam, hey, emergency happening. But you also can make those interactive, like, for example, a survey. After a person has dialed up called your contact center, you can have a bot call out and say, hey, I'm a bot, I would like to have your objective feedback, can you answer that? And of course, you can do things like what the contact center typically does, finding the right person to answer to the customer. And then in the contact center space, there are a few other things that typically happen, right? When you have a person call the contact center, you would like to have an IVR, you would like to have some web chat, and you would like to have some bots. So let me actually start with some demonstrations.
Works, by the way.
It works now?
Yeah.
All right. So here's still this showing how WebRTC works with Yuciwa. I want to start a video call. I give it permission to use my camera. And then here I need to patiently now wait for the toast. It worked just a second ago, but yeah. Maybe it only... Yeah. Ah, here it is. Now don't click on and ask me to do allow as well. Now, I'm using something that is very weird, right? I'm using the same PC to do twice the camera, so that's why you see a black box here. Oh, here I come now. And here I've got the other one. This is UC Web API working with WebRTC. And like I said, the promise that we are trying to do to you is that if you as a developer work on our object model, whatever happens under the hood, we will try to take care of that, of course, within the realms of what is being possible. But this is just showing you how complementary the technology that we have is with no matter what is the underlying media stack. And like I said, this is a peer-to-peer call. That's everything that works at this point in time. It's not a business-to-consumer scenario yet. But once we agree, once there is a standard, whether this is WebRTC or ORTC or whatever, where we know what are the codecs that can be used, this is essentially what you will see. So now let me hang up. Let me also hang up here. This in this particular case, the question was whether a browser plugin was required. This was without any plugin. This is just using the video that is available in the Chrome browser. So no install, no nothing, but mandatorily, this only works from Chrome to Chrome, or from, if we do more massaging under the hood, from Chrome to Firefox. Internet Explorer does not have any media built in at this very moment.
A couple of questions here.
Another question. So the question was, okay, hey, this is built on UC Web API, and do you get a call notification? That toast that you saw is essentially our call notification that the call is coming in. So yes, you get a call notification.
But is that exposed to the JavaScript callbacks as well?
Is that exposed in the JavaScript callback? What is at this very moment in the API that we have released to our technology adoption program not possible is to do a peer-to-peer call using the Link Web App plugin. However, in the release that is coming, we actually enable that as well. It goes via the Link network, but so you need to have Link identities and Link sign in. But yes, you will get the ability to call each other.
Small question. Am I understand right that if you use HCVA and this new visibility, you can call from the web to the Link client, or it's just peer web to web?
So the question was, hey, is it now already possible to use this WebRTC and call a Link client? And the, given the fact that the codecs are not the same, so the media is not the same in the Link client and what is built in, into the browser, at this very moment is not possible. But we expect that somewhere in the course of 2015, at the end of 2015, there is agreement among all the big players in the world of how to make that happen. So what are the common codecs that we all support? So we are on our way there, and I think it will be possible. And for voice, is that the same? We actually expect already, and actually I did not turn on voice just a second ago, but the G711 is already supported by everyone. So voice might actually come very, very fast. Well, fast, relatively speaking. Faster than video. Okay. Now let me actually show you in the same story. I've got 20 minutes left. The same story one more time. First thing that I spoke about is, hey guys, you can set your presence right through the APIs. Like, for example, here I've got Tosh, who is logged in. That's my agent. But Tosh has a big friend there, and that's me. And this big friend has currently set his status to do not disturb presenting. And the reason why I can do that, why I can set this customized presence, is because there is an API in the UC managed API that essentially allows you to change the bar of color next to the photo, as well as the availability, like busy, available, and away, as well as the string. And in order to do that, I have written, not I never do anything, but we have written this program that essentially allows you to set that, right? So currently, the status of Albert Kooijman is red here. That is that color that I spoke about. The moment that I would like to set this to, for example, let me set it to away, and I publish this, you will see that immediately it goes to away here as well. So that's the first capability that I have. And I will show you that in a moment one more time. But to have this capability can be very useful, for example, in a setting of, for example, contact center. You can describe what are the different stages. It actually is also used by other customers. Like, for example, we have a customer that is in logistics. They do deliveries with trucks. And instead of people, they have given every truck a present state. And meshed up with the location data that they have present states like near the customer, doing the delivery. Those type of present states are possible because they are essentially set through that API. So you can write code that effectively does this. Now let me actually demonstrate that here. So I've got here a project where I have integrated through those controls via the Link managed API. This is a control. This is one line of code, and then I get this contact card. I've integrated the contact list, and I can actually search for people. Like, for example, if I do Albert here as a search, and I search, then it will come back with all the Alberts that this guy has in his contact list. So let me actually do that. But the more important thing, when I spoke about presence just a second ago, and this is actually also immediately a demo about how to do a bot, is that I can make custom contact lists here. And this is the proposal team that I'm working on. And if I want to contact this person, by the way, it's not a real person. This is a bot. This is an automatically responding bot. I essentially can go on this contact card, and I can press this send an instant message. And on my PC, it always pops up behind here. So I have to do a little bit of magic here by clicking the right window up. And then I can say hi, because that is what actually the message, by the way, which you can set as well through code. Type hi to start me. This is a bot, so I type hi to start this bot. And at this very moment, I can not only immediately, in context of my application, start a conversation, I can actually transmit information as well. And what is transmitted here is the same information that I have on my website. So, for example, in this particular case, I have transmitted information about this particular project. So the information that I have here on the website is immediately visible not only for me, but also on the other side. So in other words, if you are two programmers working together in Visual Studio, and you've got a question about a specific piece of code, you can actually show the other person immediately without that person having to open the code in that conversation window extension. Communicate with context. If you have an approval that needs to be done of an expense report, you can transmit that expense report that you need to approve in that conversation window extension of the client and display that here. Because essentially, this is what we call the conversation window extension, is a frame in which I can transmit anything. I can also build my own applications in here. Like, for example, the bot is getting a little bit impatient here and asking me if I'm still there. I can, for example, pull up a translator. This is a piece of code that you can download from the website from Microsoft as well. And I can now here set the settings. Like, I'm a Dutch guy, so I can say, okay, I speak Dutch, the target language is English, and that is the application that I have here. So if I ask, for example, if we are on budget, which in Dutch is begroting, and then I translate that message, it translates into budget, and if I send this then to the other side, it says, hey, now it should actually understand that I have budget here. So, and by the way, sorry, the translation is very bad. I could not understand this, is what it's supposed to be. So with other words, the bot responds to me and I can translate it. So on schedule, are we on schedule? Yes. Oh, you'll be disconnected. Well, the bot is not working very well. But you will be disconnected. Please call again shortly. You have seen here the capability of trying to understand my language, but it did not understand me. We actually took that one step further. So, for example, inside Microsoft, we on average spent about 55 seconds in trying to connect to our help desk. Because what happens when you call your help desk? It says press 1 for this, press 2 for that. Hugely annoying, right? So if you are inside Microsoft, you get an experience very similar to this. Let me actually pull it up. Let me see. Instead of, so again, I need to say hi to the bot. Instead of having to say the words, I actually pull up here a window where I do the representation of the IVR visually. So on the right-hand side, I've got options that I can select. And at this very moment, right, so if I have a question about Windows, and it's a question about Windows 8, and I will have to hang up in a moment very, very quickly, at this very moment, it will actually call the agent, or actually the queue of the agent, and it will start actually calling me as well. So here it's now calling me, so let me turn up the volume. I will hang up very quickly so that I don't get a real agent, but you can see here that now we are connected. So let me hang up. So with other words, you can be very creative about this, right? So you can try to save yourself and your people a lot of time by building these type of applications. So let me actually close this. Now, where do you typically use this? Well, you typically use this in a contact center environment. And I spoke about that first, in the first state, we had all those managed APIs. This was Link 2010, right? So now at this very moment, we are getting into the stage of, okay, hey, in Link 2010, we wanted to be a PBX with Link as a product. So we also wanted to support contact center. So in the UC managed API SDK, we shipped a complete contact center sample, end-to-end contact center sample. And by the way, there are now dozens of products from real partners that have real products that are supported that are based on that code. And this is the sample that we actually shipped. So if I would like to chat with an expert, I essentially have the same representation of that IVR here. This is our old tiles. And those tiles essentially have a link here. It's pretty small because I want to make the whole page visible. But it says, click to chat with an expert. Now, actually, the expert is me, as Tosh, and my state is busy. So the moment that I click on click to chat with an expert, it asks me for my login, but I am an anonymous user. I actually also can give a phone number, right? So I can type in my phone number, or actually, let me do my work number. And then the moment that I press OK, it actually logs in. This is UC while logging in. It's logging in as an anonymous user. And it is now, hopefully, if the demo gods are with me. By the way, I can actually check whether this demo is running, because we also wrote a bot. Let me see if I've got it here to see whether all the demos are running. I don't have it. But here we are. So here, it took a little while. Welcome to Matteo Sales. Thanks for your interest in a cell phone Nokia. Why Nokia? Because I clicked on this specific link. If I would have clicked on this link, it would have interested. I would have been interested in a Samsung phone. So at this very moment that I am as an agent becoming available, I use presence here. At that moment, this piece of software that we have written, the contact center, is finding me. So in other words, the moment that I change this to available, I get this pop-up that there is someone who is interested in sales. And it asks me, hey, do you want to take this call? And the moment that I say yes, it is actually connecting me. So what is happening now is what we under the hood are doing is we are putting both the person from the website, who is just an anonymous user, and connecting this user to an agent via what you know in the day-to-day life as a Link meeting. So we have effectively now made it possible that here, there is an agent. You are connected, and the agent can say hi. And by the way, you can see here that my name is Tosh Meston, but I have actually what we call a back-to-back user agent anonymize the name of the user. So you can change the person. So, and I can say something back, right? So the moment that I start typing here, I can say hi back. Now, this is all pretty interesting, right? But what happens now, first of all, you have here a web person now talk to a real Link client, right? So that's the first thing. But typically what you need in a contact center scenario is you need to find an expert as well, right? So you have a little sidebar. Now imagine that this was a voice call. I will show you a voice in a moment, but you essentially could put the call on hold. So the moment that I put the call on hold, the customer is informed that they are on hold, and I actually can now start a specific sidebar. Now, if I want to find an expert, I effectively have here a dynamically populated tree. I need someone with the expertise of cell phones in the brand of Nokia, and I escalate this. At this very moment, I've got my friend here who is an agent that is an expert on this particular topic as well. His state is currently busy. His name is Manish Chopra for the time being, right? So see what a nice turban I gave Ganesh here on the photo. But the moment that you go available, Ganesh, you will effectively get the same toast as I got just a second ago.
Yeah, you want to show?
You want to show your own number, 7?
Yeah, 7.
So here we've got Manish. And the moment that he becomes available, he will get the toast as well. And he will be able to answer yes.
I press yes.
And press. And at this very moment, you can actually see on my side that our friend Manish is part of the conversation. Now, this is all not that much of a magic, right? Because this is what you are used to in a Link meeting. You can now all talk to each other. But what is the unique thing at this point in time, and I demonstrate this now via text, but this works also for audio, is that if I talk to him at this very moment, I can say hi to him, but the customer doesn't get it because the customer is on hold. And if I go to Manish, Manish just can type back, and he can say, hello, hi from Manish, and I get that back on my side. And the customer doesn't know anything. The moment that I resume the call, we are now connecting everyone. So the moment that you type something now, you can say hello again. And the expert, Manish was the expert, says hello again. So in other words, in software, in the API that we have the capability of what we do. It is actually called audio routes. We are, via your API, able to control who talks to whom. And not only with regards to the input and output, but you can separate those. So as a supervisor, if I would have another person now here helping me with my presentation, that person could actually whisper something in my ear without having anyone know. Or the supervisor could just barge in. Or the supervisor could just secretly listen in and not appear in that list of all the people that are in there. That are the capabilities that you have in this UC managed API. So let's actually hang up. I think, and by the way, if I would have pressed call me, I would have been actually called back on my number that I just dialed in, right, keyed in, because we don't have the capability publicly yet to do audio in the website. We have that coming, as I said, that is the TAP program, is what the TAP program is about. But we actually would call back the customer and it would start ringing, like I demonstrated just a moment ago, with the help desk. Okay, I pause here for a second. I'm going to log off. I'm going to answer some questions. Go ahead. So the question is, hey, the consumer that now effectively wants to connect to my contact center is logging in, but is not really logging in. How does that work? And that's correct. In a link meeting, you have the ability to do something which is a guest login. And the same technology that we use for a guest login in a link meeting, we are using in this particular case. So we check out a temporary access token, and the temporary access token allows a consumer to connect to a link backend and be able to talk to the people that the bot routes the people to. So the token is retrieved through the website. That's correct.
You mentioned about the supervisor being there without others noticing.
Yep.
So in the Adobe conference in UCMA, is there a way to add people to the conference but not tagging them and making them part of the conference?
So the question is, okay, hey, outside of this conference, of this contact center sample, is it possible to add participants into the conference without showing them? Typically, this question comes from when you would like to record something without notifying the other people that you are recording some. And the answer
yes.
is?
Yes, you can do it. So you can join on behalf of a participant without them showing up in the roster.
So you can control the roster. That's the set of people that appear in the participant list actually through the APIs. Aha, can you join people essentially in the roster that have not really joined?
That's right.
No, that is not possible.
Yeah, there is a concept of lobby, but that doesn't allow that kind of a control. But
yeah, so it is in the lobby we have something that people can effectively join before they join. So essentially that is an example of those audio routes that I demonstrated just a moment ago. But we are not able to join people if they not actively join themselves. All right, I have 5 minutes left, and I have a lot of demos left, so I would like to...
Yes, one more question.
Oh, one more question. Go ahead.
This is regarding the Microsoft in-house help desk solution.
Yep.
a lot of companies use like a third party right now for, you know, that type of solution. Does Microsoft plan to release like a package? Because right now, in order to use that, you would need like a developer using these UCMA and UCWA for that solution. Is Microsoft plan to release that like a package as part of Link in the future?
The answer to that is yes. But you have to understand that this is more like an accelerator than a ready product. In Microsoft consulting services, there is a branch that is now specifically focused on UC-enabled apps. And that team effectively builds things like the video kiosk that I spoke about, or builds things like this help desk application. And you can essentially connect with your MCS people, and they should be able to route you. So then you don't need to build it yourself, but you can use the code. Again, this code shipped in the SDK, but they have, of course, built a lot of other stuff around it, so not the bare bones example. And professional services come with that as well. All right, I need to hurry a little bit. I want to now actually show the next phase, right? So just a moment ago, we showed this IVR effectively in a window that essentially was the Link client. Most of the people do not want to have the Link client dependency. They just want to essentially start immediately. So here again, you have got the same thing, like, okay, when I click on this particular window, it goes to the next level. This is my visual IVR, right? And by the way, let me actually show you that on how we configure this. This is dynamically configured. I think it is FSW. Let me show this. Let me see. Does it come up? It comes up as well, but it comes up in the wrong way. But what I wanted to show is that it's essentially a database. All those tiles are just entries in a database list, and whenever you read the web page, you can essentially configure your IVR by changing those elements in the database. So that is the key thing to understand here. Now, when I go to Windows 8, just a second ago, I had to essentially install something. What is happening here is I actually am using the Link web app as my mode of communication. So essentially, they are going to try to find an agent. I found an agent. And now if I click here, the customer is connected via the Link web app that effectively shows up in here in this particular window in a moment. And I, as the agent, so here this is Tosh, will get a call via the normal Link client. I'm going to actually join this conference at this very moment. So I'm the only one on the call. There's one example here. And I do not know why this one is not loading, but effectively, what you can see here in a second, hopefully, is here we come. Come on. Load. Slow network. Would you like to allow it? Always allow for this domain. Allow. Pop-up is blocked. And now I'm joining the conference. And now I can actually, if I unmute my microphone, I can say and make it sing. Hello. You see?
I'm now connected
from the web to the Link client. And now I effectively, in my website, the Meteo support website, I can say, okay, hey, I would like to share my screen, just like you are used to, right? So here I'm actually still a participant. I'm an anonymous participant. But if you, from the agent, you go here, you promote this person to a presenter at this very moment, just like in a Link meeting, I can now, as a client, show my desktop. And of course, now I get a little bit of a psychedelic effect in a moment, because here it's now being added. Never try this at home to do this on one PC, but you will be able to essentially see the screen of the screen in 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 the screen. Does it make sense? This is using just the plain Link web app today as it is, as a release to everyone. Now, that's not necessarily what people want, because they want to effectively not use the Link web app, but use their own information. So let me actually close this one. I would like to leave the page. They would like to essentially do what we did in this proposal tracker, but then do it in my own website. Now, we have something like that as well. So this is this tab program that I spoke about. So if I'm a user like Garth, I log in into this website. At this particular moment, I'm now in the healthcare website. Here now you see literally the culmination of everything that I spoke about earlier, right? So here we've got the technology straight in the website, no link web app, only the plugin is still running in the background. And there is a bot actually asking me questions on the right-hand side, but this is my visual IVR, so I've got a question about arms and hands at this very moment. And then I have, can you log in as, you're logged in already as Chris, so it actually, I've got a hand pain. And then I can answer questions here. Do I have directly after significant injury? Can I have like bruise or swelling? Also, no. So now, effectively, what I did was what this visual IVR did with some extra questions, right? And I can even ask questions to the bot as well, like, for example, what is carpal tunnel? And at this very moment, it actually does a quick search and goes through the frequently asked questions. This is the help desk on steroids, right? So you can combine all this technology. But what would be really interesting at this very moment is if I could directly talk with a nurse. You're even logging into Skype, right? Yeah. Now I'm going to take a risk because I've not tried it with him because he just installed the Skype client. But when I do chat with a nurse and I press continue, it is actually going to, there are no nurses available at this point in time. And there are no doctors here available as well. So I do not know why it's... And also the chat with the doctor doesn't work because it cannot find any doctors that are available. But trust me, if you saw this demo at the Link conference, you would actually be able to do a video call straight from within the browser and talk to each other. I have to wrap up because the time is over and it's already 6:15. I do want to ask if there's any final questions, but this is available in the TAP program now, and you can essentially talk to each other straight away from within the website and do audio, video, sharing, all those capabilities that I showed earlier. Any questions? Question? How do you get to me? My alias is AKOOIMAN at Microsoft.com. So with other words, my first name, first letter, and then my last name, AKOOIMAN. And then if you say I'm interested in a TAP, I will refer you to a colleague of mine who effectively does this, this registration. Next question. So the question is, okay, hey, UCWA, does it have APIs as well to programmatically answer a call? Actually,
you do have an option to do that. As Albert mentioned, you will have a richer set of call control features available in our next iteration where we support application namespace.
Yep. But that you have to wait for that till 2015. I expect that to show up in 2015. If you want to build UCMA-like applications through UCWA. Any final question? Go ahead. So can the Microsoft dedicated teams that work for you guys, or essentially are your, do they know about this TAP program? Well, I'm pretty well known, but in case not, yes, the answer is yes. They should be able to do that for you as well, but it is the shortest way to just contact me. But yes, they know. Any other final questions? Then I thank you so much for your patience and being here. It's, of course, a little bit disappointing that the last video call did not work, but in a moment, we will try it one more time. Thank you very much.